Hello, my name is James Legrand.
Hello, my name is Bernardo Michael, and I'm 46 years old. I was born in India, in Delhi, and lived and worked in Nepal, and then went to the University of Hawaii to do my PhD. And then in 2001, managed to get appointments to a number of institutions, among which one was Messiah. And quite frankly, Messiah was never on top of my list. But the more I interviewed here and the more I got to know the people working here on campus, I felt that they were moving with a sense of vision, with some kind of intentionality. And the interviews that were conducted were not just conducted for the sake of conducting an interview. And all of those things challenged me and inspired me in many ways.
In balancing or assessing different offers, did you talk with colleagues in your field, fellow students, maybe your advisor, about future opportunities? What did they think of your decision to come here to Messiah College?
When I was trying to decide, should I take Messiah or should I not? And I talked to some of my family members who are Christian, and they said, yes, you should take. Many said no, but the ones who were Christian said, yes, you should. So I was really wrestling with that. And I thought maybe that's their normal reaction. They would say that. And so finally I asked a friend of mine who isn't Christian, and he teaches at a private school, and he's not a particular person of faith. But he told me something very important. He said, Bernardo, you follow your instinct. And, you know, there is no guarantee that the first job you take is the first one for the rest of your life. You may shift. But if your instinct is saying something, you follow that. And that's the advice I can give you. I mean, I recall coming here and hearing the word Anabaptism, and I was wondering, what does that word mean? It must be some super extreme form, some group out there, you know, in the margins. And but it then became a very pleasant surprise as I began to hear about Anabaptism's the leaning of many of most Anabaptists, at least towards peacemaking,
mm-hmm.
the fact
mm-hmm.
that they are a little suspicious of the state and of nationalism was very heartwarming to me, which also surprised me, because I said, why should I feel like this? And I tried to explore some of these questions in a scholarship paper that I wrote here at the college. In other words, what I saw at Messiah was I saw bits and pieces of my life, which I wasn't even fully conscious of, reflected in the theological underpinnings of the institution, you know. And that kind of excited me. Messiah is a unique place where certain parts of our life's journey unravel much better than they would if they were in another institution.
What has your experience been with what maybe was new or surprising or unexpected in your experiences at Messiah College?
Well, I think one of the things that surprised me, and pleasantly so, was I discovered that many of my colleagues here at Messiah are actually very interested, seriously interested in teaching. I always had a desire to teach, and I enjoyed my teaching. I didn't need to get that affirmed here. But I certainly felt that my desire to teach could be polished, and you could learn a lot from other colleagues. You know, I personally believe that a good teacher is always a good researcher. If you don't do research, you can't teach.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all these things kind of gelled in for me. And so I realize now in life that the only thing I'm good for nothing actually, but the only thing I think I'm good for is teaching.
What are some of the other ways that you're involved in a personal and in an interpersonal way with students here at Messiah College?
The desire to get involved with students outside classroom has, there are many forces at work that have helped us to do that. I think one of the things is we are ourselves looking for, since I've come from so far, and I have traveled thousands of miles, and the journey has been a long one in terms of trying to adjust and adapt to this new culture in the United States, one does look for a sense of community. I guess I would always include my family in this, because we do it together. We've always tried to involve ourselves with students and recreate some sense of community. Come over to our place, we've invited them, we've fed them. We gather bread on Thursdays from a local retail outlet and distribute it to those who need. And so those have provided wonderful opportunities to talk to people, to understand. And I think for me personally, it's an ethnography of everyday life. I feel Messiah allows me to resist in some ways the dominant narrative in mainstream academia of publish and perish. And, and what I always tell my students is basically we are purchasing real estate in epistemology land. And that's what we do all the time. And I didn't want to be part of, I didn't want to be a real estate in that real estate business.
Mm-hmm. How have you responded to colleagues, to others that might think, I imagine you've come across people who think that the idea of a Christian college, a Christian institution of higher learning is a bit of an odd duck, is a misnomer or what have you. How do you think about this, and how would you respond to someone who's just maybe perplexed?
That is an excellent question. I have been thinking about it for a long time. I mean, I have found one thing both in a worldly and in a faith sort of way very important is that that there is life outside discourse. When I said discourse, I'm using it in the way Foucault uses it in terms of, you know, how that discourse is what you can talk about, you know, and what you cannot talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes the dominant discourses of our times allow us to see and imagine the world in certain ways. And so what I'm saying is there is life outside and around discourse. The dominant discourses that define us, I think there is lots more to be lived. And I want to live around those discourses wherever I can. That's one of the reasons I took up the Center for Public Humanities, was that it was public in nature. And it gave not just me, but I think our fellow colleagues here in the School of Humanities an opportunity to walk the talk, is to go public with what we have, our skills, to share it out there with people who need it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in a world today where states, governments, institutions, universities are being increasingly downsizing and offering less and less social services. You know, the social aspect of it is all being cut down rapidly.
What have been some of the interactions and some of the effects on people's lives, on the lives of people outside our college, in the public, that you've had the opportunity to experience and see and appreciate?
Well, you know, our constituencies are varied. We have a group of young men and women who have never got a chance to go to college and would love to go but need some initial preparatory work. We offer a course for them, all free of charge. All our programs are free of charge. There's no admission fee. We never charge. It's very rare, and we want to keep it that way. Another is we try to reach out to school teachers who need professional credit, as in-service credit. We offer them that, again, for free. We have various seminars on various topics, usually of contemporary significance, and that they can feel identify with and appreciate. And we also reach out to school, to students in the high schools.
Mm-hmm.
We have a history competition that they all participate in. We have speeches and debates, competitions in which various schools in the area join in.
What are some of the courses or teaching experiences that have been particularly rewarding?
Yeah, at Messiah, I've enjoyed actually teaching historical methods, which is one of the classes I teach every fall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, teaching that class has taught me much about my own discipline to me in terms of how interdisciplinary we are today. And what does the historical research method involve? Working in archives only or what beyond? And trying to approach from many new perspectives and trying to get students excited about the doing of history, you know.
And what do the students say after they're done, or maybe even years after they go through that notorious class?
Well, usually they come back and I get emails on and off about how whatever they learned, they were able to take it to grad school and use it quite well. And they can compete with some of the best students in the field. And I now remember their colleagues calling me from these top schools with full respect. We know that this student is great and we want this student. From Messiah College.
This podcast was produced by Craig Heiss for Listen Up, with interviews recorded by StoryCorps, a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday Americans.